Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the show. Tom Ackerman with you for another hour, taking you up till noon. We have Cardinal baseball at 1:15. Joe Pott will be on the air with Ameren Total Access at 12:20. The Cardinals.
Here's the 1-0 delivery now. Swing and he pops it up. It's to the second baseman, and he makes the catch. And the Cardinals win this one. And they're taking the first two from Pittsburgh. This score is 3-1.
Mike Shannon with the call last night. The Cardinals get another win, and they have put themselves two games back in the NL Central. The Cubs got blasted by the Reds yesterday. Kyle McClellan, you're with us now, the former Cardinal, for the inside pitch, sponsored by Redbird Carriers and the Stacey Lee Ballou Scholarship Fund, funding Christian education for those in need. My gosh, you see that youngster for the Reds bashing home runs yesterday? Goodness gracious, what's going on in Cincinnati? Are they for real? You think they can make a push?
Was he got 7 home runs in his first 10 games?
Yeah, hit 3 yesterday.
Not a bad start right there. I don't know if they're for real. I don't know if they can make a push, but I think they're coming. You know, I think they are a team that if they add a few pieces here and there, they're definitely going to be an exciting team with all the young talent that they've put together. And you put a few veteran pieces in there and in the mix, they're going to be a team that's on the rise. But I don't think they can compete and contend this year with the Cardinals, the Cubs and Milwaukee, but Cardinals are getting themselves back in it. They play well at home. It's been these last two games have been fun. They've been Adam Wainwright, a pitcher's duel yesterday. It was fun to watch that and him go about it. And they're getting themselves back in the mix a little bit.
Yes, they are. And they're putting it together. And I think the pitching will tell a huge story. The rotation, can they figure out how to handle that fifth spot in the rotation? Mm-hmm. Right now that's up in the air, but what about the hitting? I mean, if you see the big boys hitting like they have the last two games, now they're not crushing people, but they come alive. And what we saw Friday with the 4-run inning and what we saw yesterday after that insane play by Tommy Edman circling the bases and the Cardinals start to string together some hits, lo and behold, hey, look at this. You're supporting your pitchers.
Yeah, the problem is it's just there's a ton of pressure and stress on the starting rotation. Is they're scoring, you know, they've scored those bunches, but it's been late. You know, they've had the stress of having to keep it a close game or a one-run game. They just haven't come out and really taken the pressure off. You look at the good teams. You look at L.A. You look at Houston, those teams. It's like starting pitcher gives up two or three in the first. That's all right. We got their back. We can go and put it together. The Cardinals, I don't know if they can do that. I don't know if they get down early, if they're going to be able to get their pitcher off the hook, their starting pitcher off the hook. And I think that's going to just wear over time on everybody unless they can get it going early and get it going often. I think, you know, that's going to be a tough thing for this rotation to have to deal with the rest of the way. And like you said, covering that fifth spot.
Yep, and that's coming from a former pitcher. So you know from experience what that means when you have that support behind you. The Cardinals do have some defense behind them. Paul DeJong makes a great play yesterday and some good defense overall behind Adam Wainwright, who was nails. This guy, 8 strikeouts, but to focus on what he does, getting himself out of trouble, Adam Wainwright is having a very good 2019 based on what we knew about Wainwright this time last year. I mean, there was some thought that he might be finished.
Yeah, well, he's got a low 2 ERA at home, you know, very high on the road. It's so weird. Every year, I feel like there's a handful of things that come up. It's like, well, can you explain this? Like, no, not really. Don't really have an answer for why he's doesn't pitch well on the road, but he does at home. You know, low 2 ERA at home. It's fun to watch him go out there, and he's just every pitch you can see how he's thinking through it, and he has to be so perfect and so precise. And he's got a few things go his way. Yesterday, a big situation, there was a line drive hit right at somebody, which helps him. But it's been very fun to watch him evolve throughout the last few years and see him out there and have success more times than not.
The opener is a big topic of conversation. I asked Mike Schild about it. John Mozeliak is going to talk about it here at the bottom of the hour. What's your thought on this, Kyle? You start the game with somebody based on a matchup or something like that, and then you stack with some relievers to follow.
I don't really have much an opinion about it. I guess I need to see it play out a little bit more. I mean, what's wrong with going out there and trying to throw a complete game? You know, like go out there to be the first guy and try to throw the whole game and see what you can do from there. I think I need to see more of it to have an opinion about it, I guess.
Daniel Ponce de Leon on Friday pitched for Memphis, and he was terrific. He allowed two hits. He walked no one. He struck out 11. But most importantly, Kyle, he's going deep. He went seven innings, mm-hmm. and if he can continue to do that, I would think he finds himself right back in the mix.
Well, I think there's definitely going to be a couple guys that they're going to be looking at. And, for them, for Ponce, he came up and really, got a lot of attention and then got put in there and kind of got exposed in a few areas. So go down and work on those things. And when that next opportunity comes, take it and run with it. You know, this is an opportunity that could set you for a long time in your career if you can take it and do the most with it. And so whatever those things are that he needs to tweak down there and get ready to go, come up here and be ready for it. You know, I think sometimes when you come up, you can be kind of in shock and awe with all of the lights and everything going on. When you come back, man, it's like, okay, this is my spot. I'm going to stay claim to this, and I'm going to make those adjustments so I can be here for a long time.
Cardinals are not going to show their hand just yet, but it's interesting, and everybody's been talking about this opener, but also looking at Ponce de Leon and looking at this rotation. They have some time to buy here because a day off tomorrow, and then they'll get going in Kansas City with Jack Flaherty on the mound, who has looked absolutely fantastic, and that will be the start on Tuesday. Miles Michaelis starts today at 1:15. And Kyle, before we go, this will be the last time we talk on Sports on a Sunday Morning before your big gala on Saturday night. I will be there. Chris Raby will be there. It's at the Redbird Club at Busch Stadium, and we can't wait for it. Tell our listeners what's in store for Saturday, a sold-out event at Busch Stadium.
Yeah, we can't wait. We've been playing this for over a year, and we have about 400 people that are coming to support this, and we have some really cool surprises about our project in Haiti and North City St. Louis that we'll have there that night. A lot of great celebrities are coming as well, and we're just looking forward to a great night. One, to celebrate the work that's been done, but two, be able to really dive deeper into our programs and really explain to our guests and supporters of who we are and what we do and what our future looks like and what we're going forward with. And so we're really excited about it. It's been a ton of hard work. Our events gal, Presley Coleman, has done a great job getting ready for this. It's very stressful, I'll tell you that. So I'm ready for it to be here and ready for us to have a great night.
We'll talk about it on Sports on a Sunday Morning next week. We'll tell everybody what happened, and then you and I will go out for a cold beer.
That sounds good.
All right, man. Thanks. Kyle McClellan, the inside pitch with us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, another guy I'd like to have a beer with, Chris Blair, the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Huge event coming for them on August 24th. We'll get into that in just a moment. It's 11:13.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the show. We're 2 hours away from Cardinal baseball, the Cardinals and the Pirates today. 1:15 start at Busch Stadium. Weather looks pretty good, although it looks like we may get some rain late afternoon. There's a chance of that. We'll keep an eye on that for you. Brian Kelly will have updates at the top of the hour. Let's hope that all of that stays away. Brooklyn, Michigan, the site of today's Consumers Energy 400. Let's see what the weather looks like there. Good weather up in Michigan, so that's good. They'll have the race up there, NASCAR, 2 o'clock today on NBC Sports Network. Kevin Harvick won it last year. Let's bring in Chris Blair, the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Big race for him coming up on August 24th, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. How are you, Chris?
Hey, doing great. Counting down the days. You know, we had a great event this past weekend with Formula Drift, and so we've got that one behind us, and now everything's just focused on getting the facility ready and opening the doors for a great weekend of racing in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir, and you have a NASCAR K&N race as well. I was looking at the forecast, the long-range forecast, which I know you have as well, and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed, but that looks pretty good to me. It looks to me like you're going to have highs in the mid-80s during the day and lows in the upper 60s at night. That works.
Well, that's one of the things we've been pushing. We've been hoping for Chamber of Commerce weather, and maybe we got it for this one. You know, we had a really rough spring. We were on a streak where every big event we have is getting impacted by rain, including our NASCAR truck race back in June, and even last year's extended all the way back into last year. So the weather gods are hopefully going to look down upon us and take care of us this time around. You know, because we really hope so, because we're owed a couple, I believe. So, you know, a couple years ago, we couldn't have asked for better weather. It sounds a lot like the forecast from that first year. You know, last year we had a little bit of rain, a little bit of heat, but I think we're shaping up to have a really, really good event weekend from what they're telling me.
So that event weekend starts with an August 22nd racing night at Busch Stadium and a free IndyCar NASCAR Fan Fest. I also see on there that you have a cool-looking bobblehead of Harrison Bader with his hair flowing behind him in an Indy car. And it sounds like Bader is trying to get himself back there because the kid bashed a couple of home runs last night for Memphis, Chris Blair.
I tell you, that was one of the things when I heard that he had been sent down. I was like, "Oh man, this can't happen." But yeah, I even had people said, "Hey, can we change it? Is there anything we can do?" But no, they make these things several months in advance. But no, he's coming around. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. You know, he came out to the racetrack last year, did a photo op because he was stealing so many bases, and he came out there during our drag race, and that's where this all kind of came about. You know, the whole concept of speed. We have speed. He has speed, and you know, hopefully things will turn around where maybe that's the night he returns. It would be great if it could all come together that way.
That'd be cool. You're playing the Rockies that night at 6:45, so you're going to have a free fan fest. Let's talk about that. So the IndyCar Series, Indy Lights, Indy Pro 2000, NASCAR K&N Pro Series, East and West drivers will all be at Ballpark Village across the street from Busch Stadium. You'll have cars there. You'll have activities, prizes. It's a fan fest from 4:30 to 6:30 on Thursday the 22nd. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then from there, Joseph Newgarden's going to go over and throw out the first pitch. I told him about the opportunity back in May at Indy, and he said, "Don't offer it to anybody else. I want to throw out the first pitch." So he was the winner of our first race, and he's a IndyCar champion. So he's really excited about that. A lot of the drivers are going to the game. I've been getting tons of messages from fans all over that are excited that the Cardinals are in town again this year, because people love coming into town, going to a Cardinals game, and then going to a race over at Worldwide Technology Raceway. And you know, even this past weekend, a lot of our Formula Drift group, we know for sure over 200 of the participants that were here for the Formula Drift event went to the game on Friday night, as far as crew members and things like that were going. So, you know, it all plays out. You know, it's a good example of this town working together where we can showcase everything that we have, whether it's the Ballpark Village, it's the baseball games, it's the Blues, it's us. You know, it just makes coming to St. Louis something special. And that's one of the things that whenever there's a Cardinals game in one of our races, it just works well. A lot of people think you would want the Cardinals to be out of town. No, we want them in town, because for us, it just adds to that experience.
That's right. The racing night at Busch Stadium is part of the annual St. Louis Speed Festival. It includes a golf tournament, a charity karting event, championship bicycle races held during the week leading up to that Bomarito Automotive Group 500, which can be found on social media with the hashtag Bomarito500. There are a lot of ways to get tickets, but gosh, you put a lot of events together all in one. You're cramming in a lot of things, and that's good. This is what it's supposed to be. It's not just a race, it's a showcase.
Well, and that's one of the things, too. We're trying to find more events that we can do around town. So we're even going to have a Cars and Coffee event the week before out at Westport Plaza. And you know, we didn't want everything to be, you know, central to just having to come to the racetrack. You know, we have a bicycle race that kicks off next Sunday at the track, but we want to try to go to other areas of the community and find as many different things as we can be involved with that would fall under the Speed Fest umbrella, just so that the entire community rallies around the event. And this kind of comes about from, you know, I grew up in Kentucky, so the Derby Festival is one of the biggest things of the year in the state of Kentucky. And then seeing what goes on at Indy with the 500 Festival, we're wanting to try to launch something just like that here in St. Louis, so that everybody can kind of get a taste of what's going on when the racing comes to town. And you know, just another way, again, for all the folks who are trying to fill hotel rooms and restaurants and to get people to travel here from other areas. It just shows there's more to do in St. Louis.
Yeah, I went to Indiana University, and when I visit with my friends, when they come into town or I talk to them on the phone, and we always talk basketball, but you know this as well as I do, people in Indiana love racing, and they love, in particular, IndyCar racing. And they're starting to have a lot of questions about your track. They want to know about it. They want to know how big it is, how many people can get in there, where it is, what the parking is. You're starting to create a bit of a buzz in Indianapolis and the surrounding area, I have to say, Chris Blair.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we were looking at, too, when we first started with this. And Jay Fry, who's the president of IndyCar, who used to live in St. Louis, he's a Mizzou alumni, he realized the convenience of, 3 hours and 15 minutes down the road. We try to structure the race so that if somebody did want to just come in that day and then drive home that night, they could, or if people wanted to make a weekend out of it. He's been very supportive in everything that we're doing. And part of our outreach and our promotion is we're really heavy on promotion in the state of Indiana as well as Northern Illinois and the outlying markets because we're trying to draw people in here. And those IndyCar fans, I mean, they're diehards. And the great thing about our date is it's far enough away from the Indy 500. So this year in our promotions that I did at Indy, we focused on kick off your summer at the Indy 500, wrap up your summer at the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. So we're trying to get everybody to be thinking about going to the races more than just once a year, and we're the perfect tie into that.
IndyCar and NASCAR are totally different for those who have not stepped foot into the racing world. The sound is different. The speed is different. The drivers are different. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is, and that's one of the great things about it. With this event this year, we're kind of tipping our toes in the water a little bit by having the NASCAR K&N series leading into an IndyCar race. I think that this is the first time we've ever had a NASCAR and a IndyCar race on the same day. We've had them, and other tracks have had them. One would go one night, and one would go the next night, but we're doing them both on the same day just to see what it's all about and to really kind of open the eyes of some fans that the IndyCar fans may look down on NASCAR, and NASCAR fans may look down on IndyCar. We're trying to bring everybody together and harmony, motorsports harmony. We just want to get everybody who's, if you love racing, you can love the other stuff too, So we think it's going to be a great showcase. And, with that too, we're also bringing in the old IndyCars. There's a lot of folks from the Indiana area too that they want to see the vintage stuff. And so we even have an old turbine car from the 60s. We've got a car from the 1930s. A lot of McLarens from the late 70s and 80s. So there's a great showcase of a little bit of everything. It truly is a festival of speed on race day.
Worldwide Technology Raceway, the recipient of the 2017 Outstanding Facility of the Year Award from the Racetrack Business Conference and the 2017 Spirit of St. Louis Award from St. Louis Attractions Association. St. Louis Attraction. That's what it is, and it's right there in the shadow of the arch, and it is exciting to know that it's the only track in the country with IndyCar, NASCAR, and NHRA, and you have an NHRA event at the end of September, which we'll be talking about soon. But August 23rd and 24th, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 IndyCar in St. Louis that weekend. Qualifying is Friday, the race is Saturday, and you heard about the Fan Fest on Thursday at Busch Stadium, and the NASCAR K&N race is part of that weekend as well. There's a lot to look at for one weekend, and it's WWTRaceway.com. My understanding, Chris, is that tickets start at $35, but also you have kids 15 and under free. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. And that's one of the things that we wanted to really emphasize is Curtis, he said one of his fondest memories he had, Curtis Francois, the owner of the track, he said was when his dad took him over to the racetrack, the old racetrack years ago to see Evel Knievel jump. And he said it was a memory that was made that has lasted a lifetime for him. So one of the things we focus on is bringing your kids to the races so you can make those memories that may impact their lives forever. So we're 15 and under are free. We're going to have a huge STEM exhibition. We're going to have STEM Alley working worldwide to bring in a lot of exhibits. So there's going to be a lot of educational pieces, too, for the kids to check out.
I miss my dad a lot, and there are some pictures of the two of us. I'll tweet one to you here pretty soon, the picture of us in a car together at the track before it became this awesome facility that it is. It was called St. Louis International Speedway back in the day. I'll send that out too. But you're right. I mean, that's the connection that I had with my dad to this day is our racing, love for racing together. Chris, I cannot wait for this. It's going to be a blast, and it's coming up soon. We're less than 2 weeks away. I know you're going to throw an amazing event, and it's brought to you by Illinois South Tourism, and we are fired up for the Worldwide Technology Raceways event at Gateway, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. Have a great week.
All right. Anytime you want to call me and give me a good weather report, please do, okay? You made my day.
I will. And on Total Information AM, traffic and weather together every 10 minutes. We'll try to go out as far as we can.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. There he is, Chris Blair, with us from Worldwide Technology Raceway. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. We shift gears, shall we say, back to baseball. That's next on KMOX. It's 1129.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning.
Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you, joined by the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. Always good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, the Cardinals are in the race. They're in the thick of it. What is your analysis of the last week or so? You went on the West Coast, took it on the chin a few times, now back home.
You know, clearly it was a tough road trip. And, you know, not to quote Mike Schilt, but, you know, there was definitely a lot of frustration in that road trip when you think back to just sort of missed opportunities. And really, when you boil it down, just to some inconsistencies. But clearly, you know, it's a club that we have confidence in. We knew that trip was going to be difficult. Had some great games pitched by Michaelis and Flaherty. So there is reason for still some hope here. We got to get some things right, clearly. But, you know, as we approach this next week, obviously we have a schedule that we feel is favorable going into Kansas City and Cincinnati, and hopefully we can continue to win.
You know, a lot was made of the trade deadline and of not acquiring a starter, and we all know that the rotation was a discussion. But, John, a starter is not going to hit for you. A starter's not going to score runs for you. That was the problem on the West Coast, was it not?
You know, our offense has been very inconsistent. It's very much a head scratcher, because when you look at our players and what they've historically done, they're just not performing to the level that you would have thought. And that's something that I think we're all just trying to figure out what we can do differently to maybe change that. But, you know, when you focus on the rotation itself, clearly when you have a starter that's only going 2 1/3 or 3 innings, it does put a little bit more pressure on your bullpen for sure. But I would point out that one of the things we have going with our bullpen are guys that can do multiple innings. And so, you know, that has been something that we were very strategic about over the last few months, to make sure that a guy like Helsley could give you 3 if you needed it. And so what you should see happen, if someone can't nail down that 5th spot between now and, say, September 1st, you're obviously going to have to at some point maybe see a game by committee. But, you know, right now we feel confident that we can get this going. And when, you know, I talk with the coaches and our manager, they feel good about where we are. So, you know, we just got to get that streak going. And I think the key to that is, can we get the offense clicking consistently?
What about this trend and strategy of an opener? Are you opposed to that?
Well, no, I've been on record saying I'm not. I certainly probably answered that back in May, saying I don't think it's for us, because at the time we had 5 guys taking their turn and going relatively deep into games, which, if that's the case, then you don't really need one. But if you are looking for that 5th spot and you try to figure out a best way to do that, sometimes challenging another team's lineup by putting someone that's very good against left-handers or very good against right-handers to almost like give yourself 1 quick inning or possibly 2 seems to be like a smart play. You know, you can shorten the game on the front end or the back end, but somewhere you need to do that.
That finish against the Dodgers, the Russell Martin hit, Mike Schilt talked about execution, and that was the frustration there. That 9th inning, a hit by pitch by Miller, Carlos with the wild pitch. It just seemed those are two.
I was hoping not to have to relive that.
I know,
inning,
but it was such a, and it could have been a really bad turning point for your team, but you came back with a win on Friday. But on Wednesday, that just seemed out of character for those two pitchers. Those are two pretty steady veterans.
You know, when you look at Andrew Miller and Carlos Martinez, you expect them to get you 3 outs. And, you know, unfortunately, the way that played out, it just didn't happen. And it wasn't like the ball was crushed, but it found a way to the outfield and game over. I still think, you know, is if you're able to score more runs or take a little pressure off of them, we might not be having these kind of conversations. So, you know, hopefully we can get that moving. And again, I think we're going to continue to maybe have to shuffle the deck from time to time if necessary. But for right now, we're going to just see how this plays out over the weekend, and hopefully we end on a high note today.
And I know that everybody's excited to see Randy Arozarena. I'll get to him in just a second. But when it comes down to it, Goldschmidt, Ozuna, Carpenter, Fowler, DeJong, I mean, they have to hit, right? I mean, they have to all start going at the same time or close to it.
Yeah, I think like when you're looking at a lot of people are talking about like situational hitting right now. I think the real way to look at it is just hit, right? And then situations have a way of working them out. And Friday night's an example of that where all of a sudden you string together a few and all of a sudden you have that crooked number. And that's what you want to see. You know, sort of interesting, like in May and June, I think we were, you know, leading the league in strikeout rate and walk rate, which are, that's a two positive things. But we were last, like in home runs, for example. So when people are like deciding about situational hitting versus just pure hitting, that's what we need to do. Hard contact often is what you hope to see.
Arozarena's appeal is that he does a lot of things. The issue that I understand that you've told me over and over is there's not a lot of room. So where does it stand right now?
Well, I think we'll see where we end up today. Obviously off tomorrow, and then perhaps make a roster decision if we feel necessary. But, you know, clearly he's had a very dynamic few months at Memphis. And the good thing is he can play multiple outfield positions, and he just would bring a different element to the club if need be. But, you know, I think Schulte wants to try to find some balance in what we have going on right here, but certainly knows that's a possibly a weapon we have down there that we can use.
We're going to get a second opinion here pretty soon on Alex Reyes.
Yeah, we should have a better understanding of what all this looks like by Tuesday, and really from there we'll make a decision on what's that next step and what that looks like.
It kind of feels just snake bit. I mean, that's your top prospect.
Yeah, I mean, it feels even odd for me to call him a prospect anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, a few years back, he broke into the big leagues, and it's just between Tommy John and then other injuries, suspensions, what have you, it just hasn't really clicked at this point. And really thought going into this year, had a really good camp, felt very confident that he was going to be someone that could eat up innings for us and, at worst, be a power arm out of the bullpen. And, you know, unfortunately, just hasn't pitched in the big leagues. And more to that point, hasn't been healthy.
I've also asked you like 17 times about Junior Fernandez, but now here he is.
Yeah, that's... you can quit asking, right? So you should feel good. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Obviously, a really good arm. I think the biggest thing for him from really the last year and a half has been his ability to learn how to truly pitch. And when you watch him, you'll see him throw a lot of breaking balls early in counts. He's not afraid to do that. And then followed up with a 95 to 98 mile an hour fastball. So his pitch is a little bit backwards from time to time, but it's fun to watch. And clearly the success he's having at the minor leagues deserve this opportunity.
A final thing. So this is a test to see what kind of team you have, what kind of players you have, what kind of an organization you are. Can you get up off the canvas and make a run here? Also, you're pitching has some issues, and you're trying to figure that out. Who better than to slide right into the lineup than Yadier Molina? I mean, of all the intangibles that he has, what could he do for you here in this next 6 weeks?
Well, I think there's a couple of things you think about when you get a player back from injury. You know, what type of offensive production are you going to get from him? What do they mean to your club from a defensive standpoint? But in Yadier's case, it's also a leadership issue, and I think Weeders and Kiz have done a great job filling in, but I do think our club looks a little different with Yadi in the lineup, and so certainly we're excited to get him back. He is going to play Saturday night and then also Sunday in Springfield, and then ultimately hopefully we make a roster decision on Tuesday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for these visits, as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, with us. We'll be back. We're going to look back at 1 year ago, the 100th PGA Championship at Belrive. Some of the highlights and great moments from that incredible time here in St. Louis. I'm Tom Ackerman, back in a moment on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman with you in our final 10 minutes. A look back at a year ago this week, the 100th PGA Championship at Belrive Country Club. The fans became the story. They took over. It was an amazing scene at Belrive, the corner of Ladue and Mason Roads, where the world was watching St. Louis to see how it would handle its first major championship since 1992, and did it ever. It was an amazing week, and it started with practice rounds drawing big crowds. I visited with one of the greatest golfers in the world, a former number one.
Rory McIlroy, coming off a golf course that, how would you describe Belrive Country Club?
Very soft. It's really soft out there, obviously a lot of rain the last couple of days. It's hot and it's humid, and I can't see it firming up that much the rest of the week. It's a long enough golf course, but there's not as many drivers around here as you think. So, the rough is pretty penal. So if you put the ball in play, you're going to have plenty of chances. So, it's all about just, getting it in play with whatever you feel comfortable with, and being really, really on with your irons this week. If your iron play is good this week, you're going to have a great chance.
He had a good time spending time around St. Louis and was taking a look at some of the things that were happening around town. Hope to be celebrating with St. Louis fans.
Yeah, that is great for the game.
Yeah, I think so. It's cool to be a part of. It's certainly becoming the norm, these sort of big groups in these big championships, and as long as you're a part of those, you're doing something right. So I think it is. It's cool. It's great for kids. It's great for fans to see the three of us together and play. And I just hope that all three of us can play well enough that we're around each other again over the weekend, late on a Sunday.
And for those of us here in St. Louis, thanks for the nice things that you said about our town. Hope you get to discover more.
Hopefully, yeah, that would be nice. As I said, we get to. We travel to so many places, but we never really get to see those places. We see golf courses, we see hotels. We don't get to experience everything. So, Monday afternoon was nice to go downtown and see it. And as I said, if everything goes my way this week, I might experience a bit more on Sunday night.
Appreciate it. All the best to you.
Thank you.
He did not go on to win it, but he did spend some time, as he said there, with the junior league players and a lot of young golfers in St. Louis, and really soaked in St. Louis while I was here. This guy did for sure. Biggest Cardinals fan on the course, I assure you.
John Daly is with us after playing a practice round at Belrive. How'd it go?
I played the back nine. It's long, man. It's really long.
We watched you on 17. That's quite a hole there. You've played here before, obviously, in 1992, but that long drive and a setup on a par five, how do you play that?
Well, for me, right now, it's so wet. I mean, for pretty much about 80% of us this week, we probably won't be hitting that green in two, so... Yeah, you just want to hit the fairway and get a good layup, get a good number that you're comfortable with into your third. So, but the golf course is great. And with all the rain, I tell you, if you didn't have zoysia grass here, this course would be unplayable. That zoysia is the best stuff to play off of.
John, that was a great jacket you wore last night at the Champions Dinner.
Well, I'm a diehard Cardinal fan. I gave Ozzie one yesterday, and it was cool. I got to talk to Jed last night after they beat Miami, so... Hopefully we can get on a little run. We need a run badly. I figure 32 more games. If we win, we might make the playoffs.
I think there's a chance of that. How did it all start for you, John, your fanship with the Cardinals?
Well, I grew up in Arkansas. It was either the Cubbies or the Cardinals. And, I was so little, red, just was in my mind. And I was in my I love the Hogs. I love the Cowboys. And I just love the Brock Ozzie Smith era. Just love the Cardinals tradition. And just fell in love with the Cardinals. I've been a fan of them since I was four, the Celtics since I was four, the Cowboys since I was four, and the Hawks since I was four. So, and I don't change.
Anything extra special about being in St. Louis, being back here?
Well, it's close to home for me. It's close to Arkansas. I lived in Jeff City, played at Helias. There's a lot of friends here. It's a great city. It's a great sports city. And the Belrive's a great golf course. Just hopefully the rain will stay away.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Got it.
It did. After a Tuesday washout, the weather was terrific for Thursday's start. And the first man off the tee, you talk about being back home. How about this? Parkway Central grad teeing off just down the street from where he grew up, Michael Block. He led the charge on Thursday.
Michael Block joins us on KMOX at 6:50 this morning. You hit the first shot in the PGA Championship. How did that feel to the St. Louisan?
It's 100% me living on some clouds, living the dream right now. Having that honor was something I thought I would never, ever, ever get. And to have that honor was amazing, and it actually turned out good. I didn't top it or hit any duck hooks or anything like that. I actually piped it down the middle. I did go with the driver rather than the three-wood just because the head's a lot bigger.
You did pipe it down the middle, and the crowd gave you a great acknowledgement, and that was a driver, wasn't it?
It was a driver. Three-wood was the plan all week, right? I mean, I never hit a driver one time on that tee box. And while I was warming up, I was a little nervous, and I wasn't hitting my three-wood that good, and I was hitting my driver good, so I'm like, I got on the first tee. And normally, you know, with your caddy, you're like, hey, we're going with our game plan. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm hitting driver right now.
He was nervous. But how about the crowds? They were surrounding Michael Block. They were surrounding everybody. Justin Thomas, the defending champion, noticed on Thursday.
Yeah, it was pretty wild out there for Thursday. You know, there's a lot of people. You know, they're very respectful. It was a fun day. It was very, very benign conditions there for the first 14, 15 holes. I mean, you know, we got a little breeze like this, 10 miles an hour or so the last bit. But yeah, it was a fun one out there.
That was for sure. The crowds were incredible. And after some rain early in the rounds on Friday, they came back on Saturday, finished the rest of Friday and Saturday, and Tiger Woods started making a run on Sunday. He birdied 9. He got within striking distance of Brooks Koepka, who heard him coming. He could hear the roars of the galleries throughout the course. It was an amazing sports day in St. Louis. As it turned out, Koepka was able to hold off everybody, and he won the PGA Championship, which was a terrific performance. An emotional day for everybody who put it together, and I visited with two of them on that 18th green with Koepka posing for pictures with the Wanamaker Trophy in the background. I was with
standing on the 18th green at Belrive Country Club with the chairman of the PGA Championship, Mike DiCola, and the head professional here at Belrive, Mike Tucker. Gentlemen, I mean, what can you say? It was a phenomenal event, won by Brooks Koepka, and filled with drama. Mike DiCola.
Yeah, it really was, and I think a real nice spice to the drama were the fans. I mean, the way St. Louis and every ticket holder showed up here and stayed here and was loud just made the drama all that more. I mean, you could hear the shouts echoing through the entire course, and you know, for the guys that were trying to get to the lead, that had to be really unnerving. But that certainly added to the drama, the way our fans reacted, and we're really grateful for how everybody showed up.
There's no doubt that St. Louis took over part of the story. The other story was the golf course. I mean, Mike Tucker, you all did a tremendous job after rain washed this one pretty hard, not only on Tuesday, but again on Friday.
Well, first of all, we have to thank Carlos Urrea and his team, the grounds crew and the superintendent's team and all the volunteers. He had volunteers from all across this area, other superintendents. The two rain events, the challenges, they answered the call. Standing here on 18th green right now, and it feels very firm underfoot, which is what he was shooting for, and it looks pretty good after a tough week. And we had a great leaderboard. I mean, I can't imagine a better leaderboard in championship golf that I can remember. And overall, for me, as a very proud member of the PGA of America, my association, to host the 100th championship at my home club where I'm so fortunate to be a part of, I can't be happier. So lucky.
Is it emotional?
It is. It really is. You know, my brother hosted 92. That was amazing. And I think I might have to give him a little call and say we may have topped you, brother. I'm not sure. We may have just one-upped you. But no, it was a team victory for everybody, including the whole city and the region. Just can't be happier.
Mike DiCola, do you want more? I mean, how can we do this again? Everybody wants to do it again.
Well, we're going to take a little bit of a breath, and I'm sure our members would like a little break. But I think we showed the region, we showed our members what great championship golf is all about. And I know a lot of our members, like me, feel a responsibility to the community to show off what we have here. And so we'll take a little break, and we'll poll our members, and we'll figure out what next. But they're taking up for a while, so we're going to have to wait.
But certainly when you hear everybody talking about St. Louis on a national and worldwide level, it's an incredible feeling.
Well, it really is. I mean, I think the media coverage was great. I think TNT and CBS were both terrific in how they talked about the region and talked about our members and talked about our volunteers and the fans. And it is great coverage for St. Louis. We couldn't be happier about that. And I hope everybody in our region is pleased with how it worked out.
Oh, I believe they are. Gentlemen, a pleasure. Thank you for everything. And we'll talk again soon. I know that.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Tiger Woods said, I wish we could play in front of crowds like this every single week. This was a true pleasure. Thanks for joining us on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.